Okay? Now, slip back to chapter 15 and verse 30. And that's where we're going to close this morning with the reference that we get there. Because David was at his lowest point. And at his lowest point, we see that God sends him help right then. All those men join him. He waits for God's provision. He doesn't take the ark. He bows and offers up this worship we're going to look at in verse 30. He entrusts his situation to the Lord. He says, remember that little prayer, Lord, confuse Ahithophel's counsel, make it foolish. He didn't chafe at the adversaries that the Lord sent. He said, don't cut off the head of Shimei. He fled to the Lord for hope. He says, Lord, you'll repay me for good, won't you? He saw God was managing everything because the Lord defeated Ahithophel's counsel. And at just the right moment, he gets everything he needs. But look at this. Back to verse 30. David's going up the Mount of Olives. The pathway is still there today. There is an ancient pathway, the one Jesus walked on, the one David walked on, and the one all the pilgrims walk on. It's just the road over the Mount of Olives. It follows the natural terrain. He's just trucking up that, weeping as he went up, head covered. And look at verse 32. It happened when David came to the top of the mountain, he worshiped God. Now there's the very first psalm called a psalm in the Bible. The very first psalm in the Bible that has David's name on it. The very first psalm in the Bible that tells us what the event is that psalm's written about. And the first psalm that's punctuated with the little exclamation point, Selah, 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 stop and think about it, is what David wrote at this juncture in his life. God's servants can continue to worship even when life is tough and difficult and almost looking like it's impossible. And I want you to turn now to the exact record I have written in my Bible right next to chapter 15, verse 32. I wrote a little arrow like that, and I wrote Psalm 3. So slip over to Psalm 3. And this is where we're going to pick up tonight. But for all of you that have better things to do, you're going to miss it, so I'll give it to you right now. So you can do whatever else you want to do and miss this, but I'll give it to you now. Psalm 3, real quickly. Look at Psalm 3. This is what the exact record of the worship that flowed from David. This is what can come from us if we, like David, will bow in worship when the bitter tears of sorrow and grief fall across our life. This is what can come out of us when we know and trust God is in control, when we rely upon God and pray for his help, and instead of fear, we can have faith and worship. So what does David do? He writes a psalm. A psalm is a worship song. It's a truth offered to God in worship that's to be shared by participation. And by writing this psalm, David invites us, with God's help and power, to join in with him when we're attacked, when we're down unexpectedly and kicked, when we're really at the bottom. He said, why don't you let this come out of you too? Psalm 3. Now, if you have a Bible that follows the Hebrew manuscripts, you should have somewhere written before verse 1, you should have a little something there. And it should say something like this: a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. Okay? That's the very first verse in the Hebrew manuscript. That's in the Bible of Jesus and the apostles that they carried around. That was verse 1. It's the first time anything in the Bible is called a psalm. So it's really the first literal named psalm. Secondly, it's the first time David is listed as the author. Thirdly, it's the first time we know why a psalm was written. And it says, look at, when he fled from Absalom his son. And you know what the key is? Verse 3. Look at verse 3 of the third psalm. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You're my glory. Not my treasures back in Jerusalem. Not all my war trophies back in Jerusalem. Not all of my maps showing everything I conquered and own, and all my records of my flocks and herds and vineyards and everything else. No, you are my glory. You know, what is really valuable in your life is what you would have if you lost everything you own. Every dime you had, whatever you have left, is what's really valuable in your life. And what did David have left? You, O Lord. You're my glory. And I love this. You're the one who lifts up my head. Now, some of you have been a long time since you have little children at home, but when something happens, like they tip over on their bike, or they spill their milk, or their Lego creation gets knocked over and falls apart, or their painting gets smeared, and you didn't even know it was a painting, and you thought it was trash, and you throw it away, they are just like David, tears running, head down and covered, barefooted and standing before you, and at the bottom. And you know what, David, he uses a term from childhood. He said, Lord, you're the one that put your hand under my chin, and you lift up my face. You look at me and say, hey, it's going to be okay. We can get out of the trash. We can get a new bike. We'll buy more Legos. Don't worry. Look what he says. Lord, you're a shield about me. I don't need to fear. You're my glory. I can lose everything else. I have Christ, what want I more? And you're the one who can lift up my head and let me see things correctly. And as we'll see tonight, do you know why most of us get discouraged? We have our head down. We're looking at all of our problems. Run out of time, run out of money, run out of life, run out of health, run out of friends, running out of everything. And the Lord goes like this. Oh, you, I'm going to heaven. Oh, yay, I don't need to worry about all that stuff. See, that's what Psalm 3 is all about.